for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, December the 26th, 2009. Carl Fox is the speaker of the evening teaching on the faith of Jesus.
I haven't known Glenn as long as some of you, but I know him in the Lord and I know him well. You know, when someone stands strong for God, the devil starts standing strong against them. I know. There are a lot of people that speak hard against my brother because he don't kiss up. He speaks the truth. He speaks it with love. And we bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. But I command that their words fall to the ground in the name of Jesus Christ. We forgive them, but we don't accept this. And I thank you, Father, that your word is greater than the word of all mankind forever. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we glorify you. Amen. Amen. God, go to Deuteronomy. You all been there, but we're going there again. I like the King James because I like the fact, several things, but one that uses the word shall. Shall is a legal declaration. And weak translations use the word will. And you can go a lot of places with that. Amen. What? Chapter and verse. Page 196, dear. Okay. 28:1. Deuteronomy 28:1. And it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Okay, we're experiencing the reverse of that. As we're here at this camp, it's hard to say what they're doing in our capital. But folks, it doesn't really matter because we got a king. And if he's not your king, then tonight you better make a change. Amen? Because the king is coming. And the king has made a declaration. One is, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he goes on to say, he says, all these blessings shall come unto thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. See, hearken is you make an effort. This is not a casual thing. Casual Christianity is melting. Right. It's melting. They can do all their laws and religious observances. But God's getting fed up, folks.
Right.
And it's time that we don't have to judge them. We're probably going to pray for a lot of them. But we got to make sure that we're not one of them. Like I said before, the elect is any Christian that will choose to be the elect of God, will be the elect of God, if you'll hearken diligently. See, it's not God called them out and says, you. We make the choice. It's up to us, okay? But I just, you know, it talks about all these blessings, and we've watched their blessings melt away around us. But you know, I honestly have thought about this. In my house, we haven't seen any blessings leave. No, we haven't seen any of the blessings leave. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because we've continued to hearken diligently on the voice of the Lord our God. You know, I mean, it's, we're talking a serious time here, folks. It always has been. But it's backing up. And all this foo-foo fluff that's floating through the airwaves, some of it's good maybe, but you know, there's only one good, and that's the Father who sent us and called us. And it's only His Word that will endure forever. But if you go down a little further in the chapter, verse 14, it says, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day. What day? This day. Oh, but Brother Carl, that's Old Testament. Well, you know what? if somebody shoots you in the Old Testament or the New Testament, you're wounded at least. Okay? Right has always been right, and wrong has always been wrong. The difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant is somebody paid the price for you. Jesus Christos. Jesus Christ. Price is paid. We have a responsibility to still obey God. It don't change. And he says, we shall not go aside from any of the words which he commands us this day, to the right hand or the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. Folks, God don't like idolatry. Fact is, he hates it. Right? It's not good. It's bad. And woe unto those that say bad is good. Right? Seriously, folks, we can't kid ourselves any longer. And you can't waste all your time on goats that want to play games. You know, goats are cute. Goats entertain. Sheep are just kind of bad. But the difference that we have, see, I'm not ashamed of being sheep because I have a shepherd. But I'm really tired, and God is much more so tired of those that have snuck over the wall. You know, when someone speaks, and especially if it's me, because I'm a rascal, if you don't believe me, ask my wife. When I speak, have your Bible open. Check it out. I don't care who speaks. You know, God's Word is not to be meddled with. It's God's Word. God elevated or raised His name. No, He raised His Word above His name. So it's really important. Jesus Christ is the Word living. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We got something really going for us. But if we don't stay tuned to it, we're going to be led away quickly. Quickly, okay? Now we go to Galatians chapter 1. And it says, it's verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Alright? That's Paul's authority. He goes on to say, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. I've been to Galatia, by the way. But it says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, those words were just spoken as God's Word. Accept it. You want peace? It's just been spoken. Take it. But he's talking about from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, we won't be able to deliver ourselves, He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Well, what is the will of God for me? I have people come up. We have healing lines sometimes. There are hundreds of people, and somebody come up and want to waste my time. What's God's will for me? It's His will. You read the Bible, ma'am. Next. I don't get quite that rude, but you know, the Bible all over tells us what God's will is. All right? But one of them is right here, that Jesus Christ gave His sins. Who did that? He did it for us. He might deliver us from this present and evil world. He's not going to take you and put you. You have got to deliver yourself from the evil of this world. You've got to turn away from it or be affected by it. I grew up on the farm, and I grew up where they invented winter, up near a town called International Falls, Minnesota. And many times it's the coldest town in North America. And your barn was kept up pretty tight, your dairy barn. And we really worked hard to have it very clean. Generally, you could eat off the floor, but we had good plates. But we kept it very clean. But even so, it had an odor. And I had to ride the bus for an hour to get to school after working about 4 hours doing chores. And if I forgot to do something, that was not acceptable. It had to be done. And if I went back in the barn after I cleaned up, I got on the bus and everybody made fun of me because I stunk. See? Because, you know, if they did that, we'd make fun of them. Okay? But the thing about it is, what you hang out with leaves an odor. Spiritually. Okay? and He has delivered us, but you just don't go back in the barn, okay? But verse 5, it says, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The glory is God's. And in John 13, or 14, 13, He said, anything whatsoever ask the Father in My name. Anything whatsoever. That leaves it pretty open. Anything whatsoever you ask the Father in My name, not Carl, Jesus' name, I'll do it that the Father be glorified. Folks, when God does things, glorify Him. When you're asking Him, He can't trust you if you don't, or you just steal His glory. He can't. He loves you. You think He's going to give you more glory so you can get deeper in the soup? I don't think so. Seriously, folks, give God the glory. Jesus did. If anybody had the right to take it, it was that guy. Our Lord had the right, but He didn't do it. But He says, like, He goes on, He says, marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Folks, we're living in another gospel. We're living with people that are speaking in the name of another Jesus. I've read historical documents that the man that was released, Barabbas, his first name was Jesus. Some real strong evidence to that. Isn't that amazing? See, we got another Jesus being spoken all over. You know, when I want to make sure somebody's cleaned up, frequently I ask them to say that Jesus came in the flesh, because that's what it says in the epistles of John. If he can't say it, then you got a demon in there you got to get rid of yet. Right? He might say, oh, He's my Lord. I didn't ask you that. I asked you to say, do you believe Jesus came in the flesh? Oh, but I love Him. That's nice. That's not what I ask you. See, a demon cannot make that confession, because when Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that was the start of their end of power. All right? And that, to them, that's saying I'm defeated. So if you've got somebody you're ministering to and they can't say it, get rid of them demons that's stopping them. If somebody comes to you for prayer, you have the authority to do it. Jesus gave you the authority, and they did. You come to me for prayer and I see a demon, we're going to get rid of it. Now, you want to go pick it up again, I guess you can, but I suspect you don't want to, right? But we have got to get firm in our love, but we've got to get firm in our determination to serve the one true God. And there is only one God, and there's only one Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Them other ones, they don't work. We have got so many false gods around us that people just are getting used to accepting that. It's not good, folks. The fact is, it's very evil. And Paul is really trying to address this. He says, he's talking about that another gospel, 7. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. See, they just don't step way off the side and say he's a donkey. They're religious. They get just as accurate as they have to, but no more. And if we don't know the Word of God, we're in trouble. Because Jesus told us we have two teachers, the Spirit and the Word. The Spirit, that Spirit, if you don't know the Word, you don't know if the Spirit's telling you the truth. And you'll never fully know the Word. I've been studying the Word for, two or three weeks now. A long time. But I don't know it all. But I still have it. And many times, when I'm not sure, I ask somebody that does. But we need that. We do not need to be drawn into another gospel. Don't let it happen. We're living in a time when that is the big plan. But perverted gospel of Christ is not the gospel of Christ. See, it's not. It just, I'm sorry, you know. That's the way it is. But he says, but though we see, even himself, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached onto you, let him be accursed. Okay? And Deuteronomy talked about how you can be cursed. He said, don't turn away, right? Hold on to it. Hold on to it. But brother, you're talking Old Testament. Yes, sir, I am. But now I'm talking church epistles. Amen. Amen. You don't need books about the Bible. They help us, but don't let that prove the Bible to be true. Okay? I've written a few books, but don't let those prove the Bible to be true, okay? You could test those books by the Bible. Because that's the benchmark. How many in here have ever done carpentry work? Okay. Huh? Carpentry work. Yeah, I know you have. Well, you drop a plumb line. If you don't do that, your wall might look pretty straight. You drop that plumb line and you square the wall with that because there's weight at the end of that string and it won't be like this. Your wall might be. But if you set your first wall square, but you can't just let that one go and try to square up the rest, it don't work. All right? But you have to have a standard. You have to have a standard. Our nation is, I believe, the only nation in the world that every quarter of every square mile is a standard. Every section. Yeah, square mile. Yeah, 640 acres. But that is an amazing thing. That's why GPS works good here. I've watched GPS over in Europe, and it works, but not as good. And I get in trouble with it here. I don't know how they do it there. But do we have a standard of truth? As Christians, we have a standard of truth. It's God's Word. God's Word is holy. They didn't put holy on the front of this book just because they couldn't think of anything else. There's people, the graveyard is full of people that have said it wasn't the truth, that God wasn't true. He's still around. His Word is still around. It's amazing. It's amazing. There are so many weak translations that have risen up. But in spite of it, His Word is still there. We have nothing else we can trust in. Who do you know that's never lied to you? Only God. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil does everything he can to not keep his word. God spoke his word and he keeps it. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. See, the devil is dirty. He's a manipulator. But Jesus Christ came and lived. He was God's word living. Still is. But it didn't come to an end. It's still living. You know what? In eternity, it'll still be living. So why can't we just hook up with the real living Word of God? Amen? We don't need to worry about what they're saying on the television or the newspaper. They don't tell the truth anyway. If they did, nobody would turn the tube on. Because everybody wants a lie, it seems. It's a tragedy. But anyway, if anybody preaches another gospel, they are accursed. So we have to be careful. There is no other option. God's Word is the only option. And there are people that try to become cutting-edge preachers and teachers and, how great I am, guys. But it don't work. They do magic shows instead of signs, miracles, and wonders. It's easier instead of doing healing and deliverance, just knock them all down. Sorry if that offends you. The only place I know where it says they fell over backwards and died. So don't depend on that setting you free. All right? I won't go any further with that. But I'm just saying that in the name of Jesus Christ, do it like they've done it. If Jesus done it in his ministry, if the apostles done it in the book of Acts, then it's safe. Yeah, and you don't need a catcher. You need a kicker. But, I know people sometimes are overwhelmed, so I'm not saying anything bad about it. I'm just saying that's not the proof of power. Jesus Christ is the proof of power. And signs, miracles, and wonders follow those who believe. And the only thing you can believe is the truth that's going to work. You know, and in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. You have authority. You have the authority that He gave you. If you don't believe it, that don't mean you don't have it. It means you don't believe it. See, when you got born again, you got God's Spirit. You didn't get a try until I can spirit. You got a successful spirit. You got a very prophetic spirit. That spirit will tell you truth and error. And every Christian got that when they got born again. Don't settle for less. You know, you get a new car. You know, I got one. I got 30,000 miles on it. I still haven't read the manual. It's on warranty. That's their problem, right? But if I didn't know about cars, I'd read that manual real quick. Because how can you get the full benefit? Well, we're talking life. My Bible says, our buddy Peter said, everything pertains to life and godliness is contained therein. Right? Well, what more do you need? What more do you need? So don't let them come at you with another gospel. You know, I don't care how big a magic show they do. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to judge the fruit, right? And if you've got trouble seeing the fruit to judge it because the fruit flies, you don't have to dig any further, okay? All right? You bite into it and it's bitter. It's not right. See, we have a responsibility. If we're going to receive the goodness of God in our life, if we're going to walk in the power we're called to, we have a responsibility. And by the way, bigger's not better. Okay? You know, for a while we had a competition in our town who could have the biggest phalic symbol on their... I mean, what do they call them things? That's what I call them. Steeple. Well, and it's what? Somebody help me. I don't know what he's talking about. He's way ahead of me sometimes. But the thing about it is that, see, all these religious things... If it comes to you, let me know, okay? But all these religious things, folks, doesn't make it right and true and pure. All right? There's a standard. There's a standard. And I'll tell you what, people accuse you of being religious because you stand by that standard. Well, guess what they are? Religious. Asinine dinglings. That would be nice, okay? There's a standard, and you want to hold on to it. You don't want to let loose of that standard of truth. It isn't just that our life is dependent on it, our eternity is dependent upon it. Have we got it? Yeah, Asherod pole. Yeah. Okay, and that's what the biggest is they got the biggest one. Well, boy, I could sure go somewhere with that one and leave it alone, but that's how sick it is, okay? You know, the greatest churches are the ones where the Word of God is the greatest. We got people in our town, and they go to this one church because the praise is so good. Well, what did the preacher have? I don't know, but the praise was so good. Well, I'm sorry, what we did tonight was good, but it wasn't praise. That was praise practice. Praise is what we're supposed to do when we leave tonight. Okay? That is to get us ready. You know, and what I share is to help you to get your nose back in the Bible and check it out. See, that's what we need. In order to have a strong body of Christ, you can't have a bunch of ailing members that have got sick doctrine. All right? We can't have it, folks. It's not God's intent, I'll guarantee you that. But I know whose intent it is. It's not. Jesus Christ didn't die for a bunch of nincompoops to pretend like they're Christians. That's not what He gave His life for. You know, hey, the music tonight, the praise and worship practice was awesome. It sure touched me. we didn't touch you, then we'll raise you from the dead. I mean, but there's more than just that. You know, with praise and worship, how many people have had deliverance since they've been here this weekend? Raise your hands. That's praise. That's worship. See, anything that can cause us to be more Christ-like, that's praise. That's a praise to the God that provided a solution. So, some of you may be a little embarrassed because of something that happened during deliverance. What a big deal. What's embarrassed is a demon that's still hiding in there, okay? Tell get out, the demon of looking out for self. You know, we don't need to be, oh foolish Galatians, which is a chapter 2 in verse 1, or 3 and 1. And he asks, he says, oh foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Oh, but our demon nation don't believe a Christian can have a devil. Well, I'd get out of that one, folks. Oh, but we have psychologists. You know, it's not your earthly knowledge that makes a difference. It's the experience of Jesus Christ in our life that makes the difference. Okay? That is what makes the difference. Because he's anxious to prove himself. He really cares for each and every one of us. He has no problem whatsoever stopping in his busy schedule to take care of you. Amen. All right? Because you are the reason for that schedule. But he says, who has bewitched you? You know, you, how far do you want to go with that? How about possessed you? Who has possessed your mind that you don't believe the truth and you don't obey the truth? See, when I don't obey, that's a demon. I'm sorry. People have got big books on spiritual warfare. And they're good. I was going to write one time, and I was working on it. And I said, well, God, you know, it's nice if you get a name before you start. It doesn't happen for me very often, but I asked him, I said, you know, what... He's Carl. It's the whole book. How did you get in trouble in the first place? Disobedience. The whole book is obey. See? So spiritual warfare is how to obey God. That's it. It's not banging your head and dancing around the chimney or something. And yeah, I 2 times God sent me into, one time to march around the beast in what's that town? Brussels. Boy, I spoke confusion into that world computer, and I did lots of things a lot of years ago, about 15 years ago. By the time I got out of there, I'll tell you what, there's more stuff coming out down at me. The man that was there in the city with me was afraid to do it. But I knew what I should do. Well, God hadn't told him, probably. But a couple of years ago, I went back. All I knew is to go back. God don't tell me a lot ahead of time. You know why? Because I mess it up. So it's like, he tells me this step. He tells me this step. He tells me this step. Because I get all these wild ideas and I'll be clear over here. But you got to obey before you can go any further. Well, they got all these beautiful, glass buildings, crystal cathedrals to the world. They've tore down beautiful architecture and put these in. And you know glass, you got to polish and get fingerprints off. I'd oil it up and I'd just go right up. I couldn't get in, I just oiled that door. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now that was just because I'm a rascal maybe, but anyway, and I had another brother with me, but we had a good time. We walked like a dummy. I took new shoes with me that weren't broke in. I had blisters. We did this for several days. And cobblestone streets are not easy to walk on. And a lot of them are cobblestone. But anyway, and we both were on a limited budget. And cabs were very expensive. And nobody would help us. Where does this bus go, you know? So we walked, which didn't hurt us a bit. But it was really neat because when it was all said and done, it was Sunday morning. We had to leave Monday morning. We didn't know if we were done yet. And I was laying. I woke up about 4 in the morning. And I'm laying there and I asked God, And he told me, you did it. I still didn't know what we'd done, except obey. Well, that isn't exciting, is it? Well, get me some water, honey. But what is the beautiful thing about it is, and Paul and I shared a double room, and I'd be real quiet because I knew he was tired too, and I finally realized he's awake. For 2 hours, we've been both quiet not to wake the other one up. But we were speaking in tongues quietly and everything. He said, what does God tell you if we're done or not? I said, well, what did he tell you? He said, I ask you first. I said, okay, thanks, honey. I said, here's the deal. When I'm going to count to three. When I say three, speak what God told you. That was the same thing. You know, sounds silly? We want to be sure we were done. So he said, you guys can go have fun. And we did. We went and seen some sights. But they're not as pretty as seeing the mountains. Of course, these aren't mountains. These are hills, but we're spoiled where I'm at. But they're beautiful, see? And you get out there, there's more beauty than man's architecture, as far as I'm concerned. But we went around and we enjoyed, but we obeyed, see? That's what we did, is we obeyed. And many times in obedience, you don't know what you're supposed to do except to start doing it. And this is where a lot of Christians miss it, because they think they're supposed to know the end of the book before the start. But when God's speaking to you, most generally, He's telling you what you need to know now. And if you start, He'll tell you every step. Every step. I remember an assignment we had one time, and we were constantly trying to find a place. Remember? It was at Waco. God sent us to break the curse of innocent blood off. And we went there, because those children getting burned in that bunker, that was innocent blood. And nobody would tell us. Everybody told us the wrong way to get there. It was out in the country. I was fed up. I mean, we spent several hours. I said, that's it, God. We either find it now or get yourself another boy. Hey, David talked to him like that. Don't shudder. He did. But when he realized he went too far, he said, I'm sorry, Daddy. Forgive me. Okay. But anyway, praise God, I got a wonderful wife. Best one in the house. That I got, okay, guys? But the only one I got. Be careful there, Carl. But, see, Solomon got destroyed because he had more than one. Right? But, yeah. But the thing about it is that she said, Carl, speak in tongues. So I spoke in tongues and I interpreted. And all he said is go back out, because I'd driven into this little field. He said, go out and make a left and go down to the first driveway. So I do it. It's called obedience. We get there. It's just a trucking company, a gravel company. I'm going, come on here. And I'm still irritated. And this lady came out. She obviously was expecting us. Maybe she's an angel, I don't know. She came out and told us exactly how to get there. She knew what we were looking for. And I said, okay, God, now I don't want a bunch of religious creeps there. I don't want a bunch of religious press. I don't want no government there. I want to walk in and take care of business. And guess what? Nobody there. But that was the first time I ever heard the crying of innocent blood, and it was screaming. And pray you never have to hear that sound. I've heard it on two occasions. And I walked right over, and it was under my feet. I took out my bottle of oil and I just went whew, like that with it. And I swear smoke came up. At least in the spirit it did. But it was really neat because they hadn't had rain in that part of Texas. The cracks were this wide in the ground. And I looked to the west and I said, honey, we better get moving. There's a storm coming. I mean, that God wanted to bring rain, but He wanted justice. You know, I can imagine how bad it had to have sounded to God when one brother killed the other one, and to hear that innocent blood crying out. It does cry out, folks. Our nation, I had an associate pastor who's pretty good with figuring things out with numbers and stuff, and he come up with every 22 seconds a baby sacrificed from the womb. Maybe worse today. See, this is a terrible thing. This is one of the biggest problems we have in our nation. It's not just the reprobate minds with men that don't have any common sense running the country, and women. That's bad. But I think we have that because the curse of innocent blood. And if any of you have been in any way involved in abortion in an ungodly way, ask God to forgive you. Don't carry that one to the judgment seat of Christ. All right? But anyway, I always get off the subject. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Well, it's kind of part of the subject. Chapter 2, verse 16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. How quickly Christianity becomes churchianity and falls under the law. Now, it's not original. I mean, in Galatians, it goes a ways back. But he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Well, what does justified mean? Not guilty. That's what it means. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Why do you think I shared on faith last night? Because anything we get done requires faith. But it's by the faith of Jesus. It doesn't say faith in Jesus Christ even, does it? Huh? Faith of. That's a difference. You've got to have faith in Jesus Christ, but this takes the faith of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. One word can make a lot of difference. But not by the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. When you say, I don't have faith, you're calling God a liar. Shame on you. Ask for forgiveness. You got the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to keep it buried, you may. But that's not the thing to do because we have the faith of Christ. You know what Christ is? Christ and Jesus are two different guys. Jesus is a sacrifice. Christ is a resurrected. That's the anointed one. Same guy, but with the accomplishments, all right? There's a difference. You know, where I live, we have a lot of guys by the name of Jesus. They're usually very ungodly. But I've never heard of a man yet with the name Christ. Isn't that amazing? See, God protects that. And this is having the faith of Christ. Man! If that isn't giving you a little bit of tingle in that old body of yours, then we're going to have to do some serious deliverance. Seriously. That's the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law. For the works of the law, by the works of the law, shall no flesh be what? Justified. In other words, by the works of the law, your flesh is guilty. Okay? Well, what about Ten Commandments? I believe the Ten Commandments are not the law. Because the only one of the Ten Commandments I can't find real clearly in the church epistles is the Sabbath day. We got people make a big deal about that one. They're certainly under the law, the ones I know. But you know why? Because Paul made it real clear. He said, every day is holy unto the Lord. Huh? Absolutely. Absolutely. See, we're not bound to one day only. Every day. Every day. Every day. Same way, people don't like it when I teach on the tithe. Well, that's the minimum, baby. You're supposed to give it all to God. Oh, don't talk about that, Brother Carl. I got to pay my bills. But that's what... See, there's a standard that's pretty high. Well, how do you give it all? Don't hold back. Don't, with your finances, think of you first. If you know there's a widow and children down the street, or an elderly person that has a need, and you don't help them. I live in a town, a retirement town. I'm a young man there. I'm 67 in a few days. I'm young there. A lot of people need help. See, you can't just turn your back on them. Well, you can. But Jesus said, I don't want him to ask me at the judgment seat, hey, when I was thirsty, why didn't you give me a drink? How come you didn't give me some food? He said that when you help people, see, there's a, you know, it's time we in America start reaching back out again. That's one of the big reasons we're falling too. There used to be that the United States of America sent more mission work around the world than the whole world did. But in the last 25, 30 years for sure, it's not been real mission work. It's been promotion of a demon nation. It's not been Jesus Christ. They'll go into a little village and they'll build a church just like home in Indiana or wherever, teach them all to be whatever demon nation. And the whole lifetime there, 30 or 40 people, they made to be demon nationals. That's not what it's about, folks. You know, it's not what it's about. I'm sorry. It's about Jesus Christ. It used to bother me because these guys come over. We planted hundreds of churches. And I don't stay there. I equip them and everything, and I go so that they can reach their people. And I come back, and over half the church has been stolen. And I can say the names of these denominations. Some of you might be going there, so I won't. They really used to bother me. Then I realized they're not your people, Carl. They're God's people. If you can't take care of them, then it's not my problem anymore. But it used to make me just so angry and hurt. But see, that's the kind of reaching out that's happened. You know why? Because another gospel, another Christ, another Jesus, I mean, has entered in. And you have these little forms. And if you're going to get your work towards your retirement check, you have to have so many results. So nobody's looking, we'll steal this one. I've seen on Christian television a village that when the work with the gypsies started years ago, they had gone in there and claimed that work. Right there, it was on television. It had to be them, it was on television, right? They did cause a lot of problems. They told these gypsy people, this is another Jesus, see? They told these gypsy people, well, you're not really a church unless you have a building. Well, I got news for you. Christianity took a nosedive. It's never got off its knees. In the first century, about 50 years after the first day of Pentecost, and they started competing over who could have the biggest church, just like the pagans. It's a tragedy. The church, ecclesia, you are. In the first century, a couple Christians run into each other and got under a shade tree, and that was church. Now, I'm thankful for buildings. I mean, it's kind of cold out there. Praise God. But a lot of things are done in this building. It isn't just used 2 hours a week. And you don't have to keep replacing the carpeting every... You don't have an inferior decorator come in and all those things. See? See, that's flesh church. That's flesh church. And America's hurting because of that. Because we've let another Jesus in. They go, and they take a whole bunch of kids, and they go to a foreign country. That's good. And they build a church. You know what it is? A building. And I've asked some of these children, because they're broken, they're disappointed. I've asked them, well, did you get a chance to witness? Well, no, but we did sing every night. You know, first time I ever went overseas, I went, and the situation was so pathetic. I told God, I'm never going to do this again. I'll support somebody that will do it and do it right. Well, he didn't listen to me. Next thing I know, he sent me back. But, you know, I don't take experts because that's just a little drip out of the past. I take men and women many times that are hungry to learn. We work as a team. And they get involved. They get involved. I took a lady with me last fall, or last spring, I guess it was a spring trip. And one of our ministers had a little girl that was dying in the hospital, and we went. It was after hours, they weren't going to let us in. And this beautiful nurse came and let us in. I'm sure she was an angel. And she knew right where we were going, we didn't get a chance to ask, you know what I mean? So we go in. Well, they have what I call death wards. The beds are about this far apart, and everybody's in there dying. And it'll be, this is children. I've been in where they're adults. And you know what? You go in and you get one healing going. They all get healed. But don't stop there. The people accept the Lord. So I went in, and we had a little religious debate with the mother that loved her church building system. And God gave me the words, because I didn't have time for the battle. And she got born again too, by the way. And her little girl got healed. But anyway, these are just little kids. I think the tallest one was a pretty skinny little girl, prettiest eyes. But she looked at you, she looked right into your heart. You know? And she was so sick. And she just accepted the Lord. I mean, that was a real miracle. And while we're doing this, there's a 5.8 earthquake. The old place was a jumping. And we didn't quit. And just a few weeks before that one in Italy that killed so many people, it's the same mountain chain. And in the 70s, in the communist years, they had like 100,000 people killed in and around Bucharest. And there's a lot of buildings that haven't been properly repaired. So there's a fear thing that goes on. But nobody was paying attention because these little children are getting healed. And I went to the next bed. Somebody said, "What was that?" I said, "It's an earthquake." Never mind. And they didn't. See? Because earthquakes is a natural thing. People getting healed and getting born again is a supernatural thing. You know, we didn't even think about it. There was 8 stories above us of a crumbly building. But do you think, seriously, if you go in without fear and if you're obeying God, you can't get hurt? And even so, if you have eternal life, you're just moving on. Right? Why should we hold back and have fear and run for cover? You know, see, another Jesus gets you so concerned about your life that you can't live. It's a tragedy. But anyway, I'm taking too long on things, but verse 17 of chapter 2, it says, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are fallen sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." That takes care of people who say, "Well, I'm not going to that church, they're hypocrites." Well, hey, I am. Aren't you? You ever do everything you said? I say, "Yeah, I'm a hypocrite, but God loves me, He forgave me." What's your problem? But He said, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." See, you're talking salvation tonight, you're talking deliverance, and tomorrow you're not having anything to do with it, that's a transgression. And by the way, transgression brings curses. Okay? So, anybody want to say Christians can't be cursed? I ought to read the Bible. It says, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." See, it's not whether you worship on Sunday or Tuesday. It's not whether the guys are wearing high... Well, no, we better not do that one, guys. But, well, some of them cowboy boots, you know. But, see, the issue is the heart. Should have drank some of this a while ago. Some windmills pump water. This needs priming. Verse 19, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." There's nothing else to live unto. It really isn't. It says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." If, live, if. That's one of the things I like about the King James. It's saying, continues to live in me. See, he said in Hebrews, "He'll never leave you nor forsake you." He continues to live in you. That's what that's saying. That's why I don't like those Chainsaw Massacre Bibles. I need it defined to me. But he liveth. He continues to live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith of the Son of God. Not even faith in. It's really interesting. The faith of the Son of God. Faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. For I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. No reason for it. He was just a hero that got busted. There's more to it. And that's why he says, "Who has bewitched you?" See, if you don't believe this, you're possessed. Get rid of that religious spirit, okay? That's what he's saying. Like I said last night, unbelief It's called the spirit of unbelief. And you can't intellectually overcome unbelief. You can study to show thyself approved and all those things. But if you don't get rid of the spirit of unbelief, all of that stuff just sticks in your head, never gets to your heart, and you get a spiritual constipation. Okay? You picture that one? See, as the Word moves, it's got to move through you. That's where the power is. It's got to move through you. And obedience makes it work. He says, verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you noticed the flesh is failing? Here, you want a picture of that? Look at here. Gravity's got me. 60-some years. My stomach, my chest dropped. See these wrinkles? You know, you can have your butt and tummy tucks and face lifts and put on Bondo, but even so. Even so. I mean, hey, I like these wrinkles. They're part of me. I'm not ashamed of them. This earth suit is taking a beating. Amen? But it's there to protect me from the elements, too. But I can't let that run me, see? See, the life is that's in the flesh is temporal. I mean, praise God, that day is going to come when we're all going to be changed, living or dead. Wow! You know, if you got a quivered up with Duflachi bone, it won't be no more. Everything's going to be working right. Your face ain't going to be all twisted and you try to do a hair don't to make it. Seriously, folks, it's okay. I like it. You girls are so beautiful. You do things to bless us, guys. But even so, it's okay. Don't let the effect of life think that you girls are attractive to your husbands. Honey, you're attractive to me, okay? A while back, she was complaining about her wrinkles. I thought, what wrinkles? I didn't even know she had them until she told me. I don't know where she got that idea. Because you know what shows is her heart. I'll tell you what, I get in some wild places. But I know that my wife is covering me with prayer. And not only that, some of you get emails from her. Be praying. Amen? See, that's real beauty. That's eternal beauty. That puts her in the midst of the battle. And when you pray and stand with us, you're involved just like you're there. Your rewards are there. See, that's the beauty of the body of Christ working together. But it says, I'm going to kind of move this along, but well, I gotta cover this. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be vain? See, this Christian stuff is not vain. It's not empty. It's real, okay? You feel like it sometimes, but it's real. And someone we were eating, we eat a lot around here, but praise God. But anyway, they're talking about caves and tunnels. And so we don't live in a cave. We have a tunnel. There's a way out. Who was that? You remember? Was it you? Well, thank you. And the Lord kind of told me, sometimes you don't see the light of the tunnel, but it's just because there's a kink. Light don't go around the corner. You just keep moving, and then you're in the light, see? When things look like it's hopeless and it's endless, that's just if you don't make stupid confessions. See, that's when the victory, it's right there. It's right there. You prayed and you started feeling better and now you don't. Well, it didn't work. But, you're going to be religious, you know. Watch me, God, I did it right. I know God's going to heal me someday. Baloney. When you pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed then. Your body maybe doesn't want to cooperate. But it has to. If your mouth will cooperate, but the issues of life and death come out of here. Not just bad breath from garlic. The issues of life and the issues of death. So, if, you know, I've noticed the last couple of days sometimes we're praising and my legs get tired and I sit down. Well, it wasn't that long ago I could hardly walk, could I? Praise God, because I was healed. The legs are still trying to give me trouble, just sometimes. But I'm not teaching sitting down, am I? I don't even know if I'm teaching. I make a lot of noise. But I'm on my feet because I'm healed. See, it's a battle, just like your arm was this. Just like that arm. I've been watching you all day because I'm a rascal. I kind of keep an eye on you. Besides that, you're kind of cute. I like redheads. I'm married to one. But I've just watched how that arm is being used a lot more because you are healed. And the body is learning to cooperate with the Word of God. And that's what we need to expect. Same way with your arm. You're going to give in to the liar. Accept the truth. It's up to you. Same way with Glenn. Glenn is healed. Don't say you're waiting for Glenn Miller to get healed, because if you do, you're a liar. And liars do not inherit eternal life. That's not what it says. That's what religious people say. But you can lose rewards by lying. In other words, you're still going to get into heaven, but you might be butt naked. You know, you're going around like this. See, you don't say that one of these days Glenn Miller is going to be healed, because he is healed. All right? And this body is going to cooperate in the name of Jesus Christ. Right. Amen?
Amen?
And it's the truth. Amen. I'm not fantasizing. I shouldn't move around so much. I'm sorry. But I am not fantasizing when I say this man was healed. All right? And he's not fantasizing. And we are going to stand on the reality that the promises of God are true. Because if they're not, we're in trouble. I got nothing to live for if God wasn't true. I mean, I sold out to this thing a lot of years ago. In order to afford to be a minister, I resigned from Social Security. I'm 67 and I don't get a Social Security check. All right? I don't feel bad about that. Praise God. Ask this little girl to marry me, and or maybe you ask me. Anyway. But I warned her about it. That's just, we live in faith. That's the way it's going to be. Hasn't always been easy, but it's always worked, hasn't it? And it always will. But you know, the devil's dirty. He tried to hit me when I got busted up so bad a couple of years ago. Now when you should be retired and now you can't work, what are you going to do? And I had to tell that thought I was healed. I even bought one of those fang-dangled recliners because I didn't lay down. If I laid down, I tore my body up getting up. I just separate the bones. So I got one of them. You get up there and you push a button. I lived in it for 6 weeks, okay? First two nights, Sheila got the other recliner. Well, I was moaning and groaning. She couldn't sleep. I said, honey, tonight you're not going to do that. You're going to go to bed. And it was lonely because I hurt bad. And if I did fall asleep, I'd move and something hurt. But you know, I kept confessing I was healed. I kept speaking to this aching body. I don't know if you ever broke a rib or not, but I broke more ribs than I knew I had. With a broken rib, when you breathe, it moves every time. Every time you breathe. And you cannot get healed breathing shallow. Isn't that amazing? You need that oxygen. And I'm a sneezer. I sneeze 8, 10 times a day. In school, in grade school, I had a teacher who thought I was a troublemaker, and I was, but not about this. She'd make me stand in the hallway because of my sneezing. I'd sneeze. I can't sneeze quiet. Some people go, psst. If I did that, the top of my head would come off, okay? And when your ribs are all busted up, it hurts. It takes relationship. And I learned something, and I can't get to work anymore. But I did that. God told me, just do this. But he said to do it. So I did it. I go, whew. See, he's always got an answer in the process of our healing. You know, or the manifestation of that healing, to better put it. Because we were healed. That's the Bible. And if you say, oh, don't touch me there, I hurt. Don't say that anymore. Because you stop that manifestation of healing. Okay? God is faithful. He's even more faithful than we are, but we better be. But the thing is that it says a scripture foreseeing God would justify the heathen through faith. That's what we were. Get over it. You weren't born a Christian. Even if your great-grandma was Corrie Ten Boom. Awesome woman of God. But her heirs had to get born again. Each one of them. That's a woman that's a hero. I read stuff about that woman that touches my life. That's how I learned to forgive. When she forgave the guard that made it so hard when her sister died in that prison camp. Isn't that amazing? See? But it says the scripture foreseeing God would just justify the heathen through faith. See, faith. Whose faith is that now? It's two of them. It's the faith of Jesus Christ and yours. See, because now you have got to start taking that faith and moving it. Well, what do you do with faith anyway? Believe. And that starts with confession. But through faith. And preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know, we are the Israel of God. We are God's chosen people. Don't think it's people with a funny little nose in another country. They may or may not. They don't know. Some are. But you are God's chosen people. You are His Israel. And Abraham is your father through faith. It's bigger than who your great-grandma was. But so then, because of all that, he says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I suggest that you in your spare time, and if you don't have any, get some in the very near future, find everything you can in the Bible about Abraham. You'll see he wasn't perfect, but you'll see what God was pleased with that man. And you can do that, see? So you're not just riding in on Abraham's coattails, but your life can make it happen. Verse 10, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So if you're going to do part of it, you know, you're going to observe the Sabbath and make it holy. And raise hell all the other 6 days? No. Make all seven holy, all right? But see, we get in these law things, folks. And listen to what it says. It's not Carl saying it. It says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Praise God. You don't have to do them, okay? There's a big movement of that. I was in Bucharest one of the last two trips. And I didn't know I had a limited amount of time. And I was teaching on getting prayer answers. I had a bunch of our ministers in. And pretty soon, all these people come in. They're wondering, what's this guy doing? Nobody told me, see? It's one of our churches. I didn't know that they were renting it out. But, and I, you know, and all these people come in. They're trying to figure out, what's this guy? Because they were Messianic Christians. Okay? And praise God, they're Christians. But, and I'm trying to figure out, what are these guys doing here, you know? Well, they're here, you know. We're going to get into the Word of God. Well, then all of a sudden, their leader jumps up. He says, listen to this man. He says, 15 years ago, I was insane. And he came into the institution and set me free. Listen to him. He's speaking the truth. Isn't God good? I didn't recognize him. At first, he didn't recognize me. But when I told them that if you can't do all the law, you better not do any of it, boy, they listen. They listen. I says, do it because you love God. Don't do it because you're fulfilling the law. Don't do it because it's a feast day. Every day is holy unto the Lord. Do it that way. And they got so excited. And when I prayed for them, these folks got healed. They were so blessed and excited. But see, God will, through chain of events, open the door. It was so neat. I didn't recognize this guy. And we talked afterwards, and it took a little bit of his reminding me to even remember the incident, because there have been so many. But see, God's grace is big enough to reach through time and even reach through where, in their eyes, they were renting this place I was trespassing. And in my eyes, I didn't know they were. And I'm thinking, what are these people doing here? I mean, I was there to teach our ministers. But see, through it, the whole thing, through it all, we sing it tonight, through it all, God will make a way if you just hold on and be faithful and obey Him. That's the key. He will make it work. He'll make it work. But I don't want to be under the curse of the law. I don't want to be. But verse 11, it says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evidence, for the just shall live by faith." No other way. That's it. The just, the not guilty. Live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. How did this them thing get in there? Because he's making the distinction between grace and law. Faith and law. How do you spell grace? How do you spell faith? J-E-S-U-S. Amen? See, that's... And he's making, and he says, you got to choose one or the other. If you're going to walk in the power you're called to walk in, you got to choose one way or the other. There is no going down the middle of the road. Okay? That center line is not designed for you to keep your hood lined up to. Got to make a decision, and you got to do it, because you're going to live by one or the other. And he said, if you're doing part of the law, you're guilty of all the law. See, but it says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree." Praise God. And that's quoted in Deuteronomy 21 verse 23, which was in the scrolls that Jesus knew. He knew from a very young age that he had to die on the tree. Because before that time, the only way that you got out of the curse was die. Why do you think they stoned people for certain transgressions or sins, iniquities, call them what you want? The reason was, is because there was no way out of it. Under the law, if you did these things, you were cursed. King David and Bathsheba and their children all should have been taken out in stone. That was the law. And he didn't. And look at the mess. His children, one raped his sister, another one killed his brother, another one tried to overthrow his father. Look what happened to Solomon. See, it was because of the curse. But folks, we are free of that curse of the law if we will accept it and obey God. Obey Him in grace, not in law. Alright? It's a big deal. Because maybe we should have some of it for some of these unbelievers. Because if you took a life, they would stone you. It sure take care of the abortionists, wouldn't it? Get rid of them doctors that are doing it. We're living in the time of grace. And grace is on everybody, okay? But that's not abused grace. Grace is a privilege. I could not live any other way but by grace. There's no other way that I could live. And I got news for you, no other way you could. But verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham may come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, the heathens. That was us, okay? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. No other way. No other way. No other way. There is no shortcuts. There's no scenic route. Faith is required, okay? And Father, please stand. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I praise you. I thank you for keeping everybody awake. But just about everybody. But thank you, Father. I thank you for your blessings. And because the curse is destroyed, that in the name of Jesus Christ, we got blessings. I'll move over here and say, if you want to stand, sit, whatever you want to do. But in the name of Jesus Christ, I stand with these people, your people, my family, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we repent. Repent. Not regret. There's a difference between regretting and repenting. We repent of the transgressions, the iniquities, and the sins of our ancestors before us, Father. Your word says that if what we forgive on earth is forgiven in heaven. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we repent and we ask for forgiveness. And all this stuff in our bloodline, is all the ungodliness and the generational curses, the cancer that comes up there, family after family, generation after generation, alcoholism, insanity, all these things, in the name of Jesus Christ, I wipe the slate clean. In the name of Jesus Christ, we just wipe the slate clean. The blood washes and there's no stain. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command forgiveness to take authority. We command the accusation out of our enemy's hands. And in the name of Jesus Christ, all these babies that have been, their blood spilled. In the name of Jesus Christ, we repent, Father. We repent. We ask for your forgiveness. Mercy, Father. Mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. All that we have done as a nation, Father, maybe we can't change it. Maybe we can't change what churchianity's doing. But Father, if you agree with me, raise your hand. Don't raise it till you hear me. Okay? But Father, we repent and ask for forgiveness for all the iniquities and transgressions that we have done in our life in the name of Jesus Christ. I agree with that. Raise your hand if you agree. That makes us part of it. And we thank you, Father, that we are free and we just lift up to you and receive down the forgiveness that we need in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, for blessings. I thank you that for the blessings that have been withheld, for them to come back, to call back the blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for limbs that have crippled up because of it, to be set free. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for eyes that don't see to be able to see in the name of Jesus Christ. Take them glasses off. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. Amen? Say it. And you, I agree with you, hon. And I think everybody else does, but I know I do and you do. And it's done. All right? All right? Same thing, man. I refuse. Put the temptation in my pocket, reading glasses, but I didn't use them. I don't need them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, faith makes a way. Not law, faith. And we praise you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We're not going to be religious about this. We're going to trust you. You are a God. You love. I don't know how you love us, but you love us. And you care. And we receive that love. And because you love us, we can love one another. And we praise you, Father. We thank you. We thank you for freedom in our bodies. Joints set free. Osteo, for whatever. You have no more authority. Just a stupid name of a certain stupid result. And I command you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to digestive systems. I command you be healed. Just be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Ears hear in the name of Jesus Christ. Eyes see in the name of Jesus Christ. Backs bend in the name of Jesus Christ. Freedom in our bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the yoke of bondage. I command the yoke of bondage to be out. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against that hook that's in our jaw. Just open your mouth. Open your mouth. In the name of Jesus Christ. Open your mouth. It won't hurt you, Beth. Open your mouth, okay? And Father, take that hook out. Take the hook out. Take the hook out. Amen? See, we just kind of fall asleep at the switch. But Father, we want your goodness, and give us the strength to do what you called us to do, that we can see, that we can hear, that our feeling can be back. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask that you break off the curse that's coming from broken covenants. Have you dealt with that one? You made some confessions today, so we need to talk about it. But Father, we all have made covenants we haven't kept, and I ask that you forgive us all in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you that the curse from those broken covenants no longer are on us, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we are free. Somebody needs to breathe deep. Make them lungs work. Make those lungs work. If you don't think God's ever done anything to you, take a breath. Take a breath. That's the gift of life. He breathed, God breathed life into you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I thank you, Father. I thank you for giving us rest. Everybody's so tired from eating too much turkey. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I just thank you and I glorify you, because if it says if we take up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt us. And we claim that in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us a sense of what we take up. But I speak rest tonight for everybody here. And in the name of Jesus Christ, waking up in time to get here for prayer. Wipe out the excuses. If you got a legitimate reason, don't be here. But if you can be here, really be here, because that's when that personal time with the Lord happens. Yes, it happens in the group too, but sometimes just that personal time is when the yoke of bondage is broken. And we praise you, Father, and we thank you that there is no weapon formed against these people that can prosper, and that in the name of Jesus Christ, every tongue that is confessed against these people, all of us, including our own tongue, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind those words in the name of Jesus Christ. And we crush them. We take away their authority. And I speak that this is a blessed people. This is the sheep of your pasture. That they are healthy. That they are strong. That they are vital. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to ailing bodies and twisted bodies. And in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And we glorify you and we thank you that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. And beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for that little arm growing a little bit more. In the name of Jesus, oh my God, look at that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you for miracles that happen that quick. And I thank you for when our body is a little slow to accept it, that we have the faith to continue to confess that we are healed. In the good sense. And we praise you, Father, and we thank you. And we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. And Father, we're not going to try to figure out why you love us, but we're going to know that you do, because you said you do. And I thank you for that love, just soaking in, soaking in, soaking in. Just, Father, make us all like a damp sponge. Just soak it in. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you the glory, and ye know, my people, that I, your God, truly love you. Know that I have never held anything against you. If you will do what I say, if you will keep your relationship clean with me, the devil will have no way to get to you. Know that if you hold on to the love that I've placed in your heart, if you hold on to the faith that I have placed in you, that you have the results and the promises I've made. I am a God that does not know how to change His mind. I made a right decision and I hold to my decisions. I will not be slack in blessing you. I care and I will rest you and I will refresh you because I love you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.